So today, I got to talk about two steps closer. Do you guys know what our tagline is at Whitewater Christian Church? Whitewater Christian Church is a community, there's that word, persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. There's some perks about, you know, we're a church that unchurched people like to go to as well. Okay? We have that going for us. And that's awesome. We have a perk of churched people like to come here too. Sometimes. Okay? So, but our main goal is persistently, a community, us together, persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus Christ. We originally, when we were writing this statement, we thought, well, what do we say? What do we talk about? A community persistently moving, you know, and it was very much two steps closer, yes. Very much an individual thing is how we originally worded it. And we said, no, we need to broaden that. You know, it's not just individuals. It's not just Laramie. It's not just here. It's the world that we're persistently moving two steps closer. And that seemed like a really kind of, whoa, crazy goal. You know, how do we do that? And then 6.5 years later, we're getting to see the fruits of how that happens, of how this is just a hub here in Laramie that sends all of these people out. And there are people all around the world that have stopped and stayed here for 1 to 4 years and have learned who Jesus is and what Jesus desires, and they're out serving on a mission field right now in many different countries, China, Africa, Chafrica. I'm told they're side by side on a map. Godfrey, don't check my geography, man. All right? Godfrey's just like, yeah, no, man. Africa's nowhere near China. but it's cool to see that happen. And so this week, I had the task of writing a teaching on, you know, what does that look like for us to be two steps closer? And I said, well, you know, it's one thing to have it on a website. It's another thing to have it backed up by Scripture. And that's the one thing I didn't see on our website. That's one thing I don't ever recall us actually finding Scripture as to what we exist for. And I found that weird. I found that a little almost borderline heretical. And so let me back up. Tuesday, I've been in McKinney, Texas all week with Lauren Engel. Where's he at? He was the guy that did communion. He's one of our elders here. It was a challenge flying with him because he attracts some really crazy people to him in the airport. I don't know what it is about him, but that's just the way it is. But we've been in McKinney, Texas, and it was literally, it was a church planting conference through Nexus. And what Nexus does is, much like we were planted here 6.5 years ago through NPEA, the name means Northern Plains Evangelistic Association. It just gets longer and longer and longer. They exist, much like Northern Plains Evangelistic Association, to plant churches all over the country, all over the world. And so they have adopted me and Whitewater Christian Church and said, anytime we have any kind of continued education going on or any kind of soul care thing going on, we will fly you out here and you will be a part of what we do. And so this week, I got to take Lauren with us, and it was just a great time. And so I leave Monday night, and I didn't take a laptop with me or anything like that so I could actually study and really write anything down. And I knew that I'd be flying in late Thursday night, and I would have Friday and Saturday, and then I would be getting on this stage to teach you guys. And so I get there, and Tuesday morning, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, we're hearing from this guy named Gene Getz. He's an old codger. He's 85 years old. And he starts speaking, and it was literally like God just came and slapped me on the back of the head and said, there it is. That's the passage. That's the foundation to back this stuff up. And I said, well, fantastic. So I've been just marinating in this passage. Ephesians 4 is where we're going to be going. And just really trying to figure out, okay, God, what is that? Where are we in this? And the more I read through Ephesians 4, the more I see us as Whitewater. The more I see us in these words of Paul. Even though this was written to a people thousands of years ago, I see us. It's like Paul could have written directly to Whitewater. And so I'm excited to share that with you this morning. I'm excited for us to figure out what this two steps closer to Jesus means for us individually and what that means for us corporately. So you guys ready? All right, God, we want your words to speak. God, where we need to be cut, God, I want your words to cut us and cut us deep. God, where we need to hear you, I want your words to just shout and break the deafness. God, where we need change of heart, God, it only comes through your word and through what you say. And so, God, change our hearts through your word. God, teach us what community looks like individually, what community looks like corporately. God, teach us how to love, teach us how to be grace, teach us how to be mercy to those around us. It's your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I like having you sitting in the front row, buddy. You're loud. That's not the only reason, but it's my buddy Jacob down there. Do you ride a Harley or something? He's got a sweet Harley jean jacket on, which implies that, yes, he does ride a Harley. I don't know why anybody would wear Harley clothing. It wouldn't. Right, Louise? You less talk, more teach. All right. That's so applicable on every level. I can just say that about everything in my life now. So Whitewater Christian Church is a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Everybody got their Bibles? Nope. Anybody have a cell phone? Anybody have a data plan? If you need to get on the internet here in this building, you can connect to the Griffin, and the password is Winston, W-I-N-S-T-O-N, 710. A lot of times I don't have my actual printed copy of the word, but I have this sweet Bible app called YouVersion. And you guys can pull that up. And what I like about it is I don't have to memorize where books are in the Bible. I don't have to fumble around because it's just right there on my phone. So you guys might like that as well. But we're talking in Ephesians 4. So if you guys have an app, you guys have an iPhone, download this YouVersion Bible. It'll benefit you. It's awesome. So we're talking in Ephesians 4. What does it say? Paul, you guys know who Paul is? He's an apostle. He's a disciple of Jesus. Paul is writing to the Ephesians in this letter, and he's writing from prison. He's writing from not a place of freedom, physically speaking. And this is what he has to say to the Ephesians. Now, remember, when I started reading this, I really felt that, man, this is us. He's talking to us. And this is what he says. Paul says this, it doesn't say I threw that in there myself. What is this, the message? Here we go. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Does that ring in any bells from the last few weeks? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led the captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people, us, you, me, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How did you know this? Do you have this memorized? This dude's got this memorized. Get up here and teach this, man. He does this in his Awanas, he said. And he said he just memorized that word. You got this whole thing, brother. You got it. So as I read this, and we're going to read this again, man. We're going to read this again. Man, women, y'all. I've been in Texas, I can say it. Y'all. We're going to read this again. But what I find interesting is that it never says that you guys have got it. That we together have got this figured out. There is almost a walking towards something. Almost a goal to strive for. Almost a two steps closer kind of a theme, huh? And what Paul's saying in this is that together in the bond of unity and peace and all these things, as we function together, it's for the purpose of building up the body. As we read what God has for us here in Scripture, as we read what God has for us, and as we spend time on our knees in prayer and hear what God has to say, it's not going to just affect us. It's going to affect those around us who are in community with us. And it never once says, this is for you alone to just live life alone and be a hermit alone. It talks about this community, this body. We, us. Can I read it again? I feel my words are falling short. This dude's sitting in prison, and he's way more eloquent than I. Didn't Alicia teach on this a while back, where Paul was sitting in prison, and he was in less than stellar circumstances, meaning in his own urine and his own feces, and this dude can produce letters like this. This dude can produce hope like this. This dude can speak hope and truth like this in the worst of circumstances. And he's doing a better job of teaching than I am today. So let me read these words again. What we're going to do is once we hit verse 7, we're going to skip to 11. All right? Can we do that? All right, that's what I'm going to do. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You got it, man. We should probably just stop there and teach on that. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another, your neighbors that you're sitting by, in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now we're going to skip to verse 11. Can we do that? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and be blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, if we do that, if we speak truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined together and held together, and by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of the most humbling things about being in Texas this week was I am surrounded by guys, men and women, who are teachers, who are preachers, who are disciples. And these are all men and women who are dying to self and doing some really, really hard, tough work in this thing that we call church planting. In this thing that we do to what does it say here? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to what? Prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So oftentimes we come to Whitewater or we go to our individual church, wherever that might be, and we get very narrow, a very narrow view of who the body of Christ actually is and what the body of Christ actually does. Because we only see it functioning out of this one area, this one building, this one place. But in all reality, the body of Christ extends to the whole world. And that there's people dying to self and following what God is asking of them to come and teach, to come and preach, to come and be a disciple, to come and prophesy. I think it even says prophets, doesn't it? Are there any apostles today, Matt? Of course. But you have all these people through all these places. And I got to get just a small glimpse of it this week. And as a teacher, sometimes it's tough. As a pastor, sometimes it's tough because my view gets limited too, to just what's here, to just what's going on. And so often I get to meet with individuals who have individual issues, who have individual setbacks as they move two steps closer. And I can narrow my view just to some of those individuals. But the reality of it is our community is a community of issues. Our community is a community of issues that I may have gone through something in my young 34 years of life. To some, that's ancient. To some, that's just a whippersnapper. That God has called me out of or that God has called me into, and I might have some voice on some of these subjects, but if I'm living life alone outside of community, and I'm living life in this isolated, narrow view of what God is and what the church is and what my part in that is, nobody's going to know that. community is huge. Whitewater Christian Church is a community. Whitewater Christian Church is a community. This is the part where you guys help me out. I should have stated that a little clearer. Whitewater Christian Church is a persistently moving the world. And how are we going to do that in the world if we can't even get it down here? What's that? Through Christ, there it is. So I get it. I get some of this stuff. I used to not like community because it was taxing for me to be in community with people in the spiritual sense. In the band, I could go play a show at any given bar and stand outside and smoke a cigarette with the scene kids. And I could find community there. And it wasn't hard because it was like two different worlds, you know? I had Jesus and I knew where I stood, and you know, we were just there for a night, and it really didn't matter as much, you know, as to where they stood, because I knew we'd be moving on to the next venue or the next show. But in church it's a little harder. In a community where you're expected to come week in, week out and dig in, it's a little different because you might start building a relationship with people. A buddy of mine said once that behind every smile is a set of teeth. You guys understand what that means? Anybody experienced those teeth? Yeah. Behind every smile is a set of teeth, and that's what community puts us in danger of. If we choose not to live out what Paul says, living in unity, love, what does he say? Live a life worthy of your calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Community is easy to live in, right? So I get it. I used to buck being in community. In my home church, I used to hate what they called small groups. Anybody been in a church with that? Because I would be put in these groups with people that, man, they were the furthest thing from humility. They were the furthest thing from what Paul's teaching here, from gentleness. They wouldn't bear with one another. They wanted to act like a bear with one another and just rip you to shreds over issues that you might have with Scripture, over questions that you might have with Scripture, over lifestyle that didn't necessarily add up with the way they thought you should live or where they thought you should be on this spiritual journey, on these two steps. And so I struggled with community for the longest time. And as I've always said, God has a sense of humor, and he calls me into ministry. And this very thing that I struggled with is the very thing that God calls us into, is the very thing that he said, this church will not fly without that. And so why do I tell you this story? It's because many times we don't do community. We don't enter into community because we've had a bad taste of what community can be. And so the easiest way to stop that bad taste from being in your mouth is just to cut it out. Just don't do community. Don't try. Don't get involved. But the reason that these teachers and preachers and everything came, that we would know this gospel, you know, how many years later, how many thousands of years later, is to prepare God's people, us, you, for works of service. As for what? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and fullness of Christ. I address you as the body of Whitewater this morning. And I'm calling you to this kind of a community. Some of you have been with us for years, and you have held us at arm's length. And you said, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Or I don't have time to do this, but I'll do this once every 4 months. And I'm not saying sell your life out to the church. I'm not saying have Monday through Sunday be nothing but Whitewater Christian Church. But I am saying get involved. There's beautiful stuff happening here. There's beautiful people sitting right next to you, sitting all around you that have stories and life experience that will benefit you. And you're two steps closer. Saturday, there was a move that happened for one of our gals here. And what was it, 20 people showed up? 20 people, not just this body. And what you may not even know that we have a moving, I hate to call it moving ministry, but for lack of a better term, we have a moving ministry. And that means that we show up and we grunt your crap into a trailer and hope that you're moving out of town and not across town. Because then if it's across town, then we got to go move your crap into your new house. But we do this. We do this willingly. We do this. And why do we do this? Well, you know what? Not in hopes that these people that were moving would come to Whitewater. That's not it. We do it because it's grace. It's mercy. It's love. It's displaying community to the community. That's why we do it. So Saturday, there was a move, and 20 people show up, and you want to know, not all 20 of these folks were Whitewater people. There were other folks from Harvest Christian Center that show up and help. And we work side by side in community with other communities of believers. So there's ways in which you can get involved more than you already are. There's ways in which you can live in community that don't necessarily look like a small group, but that are expanding the kingdom here on earth, that are being grace and mercy and love to those people that need it most. There are other things. The Forum on Sunday mornings, they are a group of people who are not afraid to tackle any question that you might have. That sounds scary, right? As a teacher, that scares the crap out of me. I've said crap a lot. I need to quit. That must be my go-to word today. But there are people willing to dive into any question, and in this humility and love, in this gentle, patient, bearing with one another way. There's nothing sacred. There's no question too crazy or too heretical that this group won't tackle and dive into and try to find the heart of God through Scripture. That's available to you on a Sunday morning. Throughout the week, you have Friday night groups at Ingalls, free dinner. I think I'm going to take my wife there for that sweet banquet. Is it a sweetheart banquet? Can we call it that? Do you have to bring anything? Is it a potluck? You like that word, Tanya. But that's a group of like 20-somethings, plus some old people, the Ingalls. And this is a group that gets together and breaks bread. I think they call that communion. They eat a meal. I'm sure they talk about what Jesus does in their lives when they're together. It sounds pretty taxing to live in that kind of a community, right? Go and eat some food. That's my kind of community, right, Lauren? Lauren and I ate so much food in Texas. I was on a diet. It was bad. Friday night, you have things throughout the week. You have coffee with dead people. Oswald Chambers, right? man, that's going to be the one thing that someone takes away from this message. And like posts online, pastor says, yeah. So you have coffee with dead people in the morning. I know there's many morning people out there. I'm not one of them. I'm not, and I know that that's not for everybody. But I can tell you what's in that dude's writings, and they are gold. You want to kick your morning off right? Get plugged in. Thursday night, there's men's groups that happen. And it's very much similar to the forum. I think that they're willing to dive in and talk about what needs talked about and any kind of questions that are asked. And if that doesn't happen, then they have the format. They come prepared to teach you. These are just a few of the things that we do in this community. There's a firewood ministry. I hate calling it a ministry, but that's what it is. There are a group of lumberjacks that go out and they buy semi-loads of wood. And they chainsaw, man, like the toughest dudes you've ever seen, lumberjack this wood into firewood for people that might be in need. And if they're in need, they just give this wood away to people. Now, that takes some work. That's not just a walk in the park. But how many of you like lumberjacking, men and women? Do we got any lumberjills in the room? Is that a thing? Is that the feminine? Is that way to say lumberjack? I don't know. Or is it all just lumberjack? Is that just an accepted term? I don't know. But they need help with that. And so these things kind of happen in seasons, you know, when you're getting firewood in and those kinds of things. But those are things that you can be plugged into and be a part of. And for those of you that want to purchase firewood to help this ministry continue to do what it does, man, get a hold of me. Get a hold of Craig. Get a hold of Kevin Easton. And you can buy to help support this ministry so that what they give away for free. You guys know this stuff exists here in community? Sunday night, we had a whole bunch of people over to our house for Super Bowl, the anti-Super Bowl Super Bowl party. And it was all people who hate football. It was sweet. Not one sports-related reference was made. We had lots of tacos. And we just had a great time. It was interesting. We promoted it as a taco movie night, and we didn't start the movie until super late because we were just having fun, enjoying each other's company, and talking to one another almost the whole night. And then by the time it started winding down, people wanted to watch a movie. It was like midnight, and I said, guys, you got to get out of here. But we ended up watching a movie anyway. But it was just a great time of community with people. There are many ways in which community can be had. There are very formalized Bible studies. There are very informalized just inviting people over to your home. And what community does is backs this theme up of this two steps closer. A lot of times I get people in my office and they are so burnt out and they are so isolated. They have no one to go to. No one to help share the load. No one to help share the burden. And so they come in and they dump. They come in and they just purge. And I'm happy to be that person. I'm happy to be there. I'm happy to go through it with them and walk with them. And if you're one of those people, this is another way to help combat some of that in your journey at Two Steps Closer, because Christ calls us into community, and this community of believers is there for you if we live by Paul's rules here, bearing with one another. Whitewater Christian Church is a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. If someone asks you what Whitewater is about, say, Whitewater is a community persistently moving the world towards Jesus Christ. And then show them what that community looks like by bringing them into community with you. Show them what that community looks like by you being in community with others around you. Show them what that community looks like when you bear with them, being completely humble and gentle, patient as you bear with them in love. Guys, this isn't a hard task. This isn't a hard task at all, but it starts with just doing it. You guys cool with that? I love watching the community be built here. I love being able to resonate with Paul's words and say, man, he's speaking to us. I love seeing where we already have community and the joy that I get to express to you because it is you being in community with others. But together, as we pull together, it's going to have a way bigger impact than just two or three of us doing it. As we pull together, you're going to watch your two steps become four and five and six and seven. And then you might back up to four, maybe then back to two. And then you might jump to 12. I'm no dummy. I used to think spiritual growth was like this. And then I saw my own chart, and it was like, if I could do the, whatever that 80s move is, the pop and lock. Anybody? Whatever. But I used to think spiritual growth was like that in my finite mind, and it's not anything like that. And what it took me is being in community with people who would say, Adam, what are you doing? Adam, where are you at right now? Adam, that's not where God wants you to be. So together, Whitewater is a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. And that's what I want you guys to join into today. Start today. Okay? Good. I heard a cricket. God, we hear your words and we see them. And as I even taught last week, just reading Jesus' words, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And as we are confronted with some of these things, as far as living in community and living with one another in such a way that produces more community and that builds your church, as Paul says, God, we're confronted with these words and we have a choice. We have a choice to just stay stagnant. We have a choice to not get engaged and be involved. Or we have a choice to take you seriously at your word and live in community, to live a life worthy of the calling that we've had, to be completely humble and gentle, being patient and bearing with one another in love, and to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God, these are the things that change lives. These are the things that change our life. And God, it's scary to think that us, your body, is your plan for humanity. As we work with your Spirit within us, God, we get a lot of these things wrong a lot of the time. But it doesn't say to stop trying. And so, God, may this morning be a start in this process, in this start of living out what you have called us to, of living out this community that you desire us to have with you first and with each other second. God, I pray for transformation that starts today. God, I thank you for us, for those folks that have been a part of community and continue to be a part of community and continue to strive to find ways in which community can be had and which community can be seen. God, I thank you for those of us that have been taught by community as we come in with agendas sometimes and we come in with ways in which we think we should be speaking to one another and God, how that learning happens with one another. God, I thank you for softening spirits within community. I thank you for some of the tough conversations that we have to have in community that help grow us, that help mature us, that help us be who we should be. And so, Father, as we take our mission here at Whitewater seriously as a community of believers that are persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus Christ, God, nothing will be able to stop us. Nothing will be able to stop your work being done. So God, may we take you at your word. May we not just be crying out, Lord, Lord. But may we be a people, a community, persistently moving the world towards you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.